Letters.
On nutrition and IQ, the Paris Olympics, Kamala Harris and Mark Zuckerberg.
Brain Capital.
From Dr. Harris Eyre, head of the Neuropolicy Programme, Rice University, Houston, and Dr. Shekhar Saxena, Adjunct Professor of Global Mental Health, Harvard University, Cambridge, Massachusetts. As you outlined in How to Raise the World's IQ, article July 13th, our brains are essential to the modern economy, which demands ever more cognitive, emotional, and social expertise instead of manual skills. The World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs Report 2023 noted that employers will prioritize cognitive skills, requiring brain health to excel and adapt to new technologies in our lives. So a transition is underway. But vital development in brain skills is being hampered by some big health challenges. One in three people will experience a neurological disorder, and nearly half will face a mental health condition, disproportionately affecting women and those in low and middle-income countries. Nearly $2 trillion a year is spent on brain and mental disorders globally, and that is rising by 5% each year. We have created a global brain capital dashboard that captures the drivers of brain and mental disorders, which include food and nutritional insecurity, a lack of prenatal health care, the natural and cultural environment, and education. We must transition to a brain-positive economy, reversing the worldwide underinvestment in brain capital needed to unlock the skills for huge economic transitions.
From Dr. Bianca Curi Braga, nutrition policy consultant, Rio de Janeiro, and Dr. Susan Roberts, professor of epidemiology and of medicine, Dartmouth College, Hanover, New Hampshire. Raising the world's IQ is one of the most important and most neglected tasks of science and policy. Maths and words, the main codes used by our societies, are too complex for a large part of the world's population. There is also an association between cognitive health at young and old ages. The findings from a randomized controlled trial that evaluated the impact of supplements with more than 20 micronutrients, polyphenols, and large amounts of omega-3 fatty acids showed astounding success regarding cerebral blood circulation improvement and cognitive test performance of children in Guinea-Bissau with widespread undernutrition, published in the British Medical Journal, July 2020. Efforts to test a similar supplement to increase cerebral blood circulation and cognition are in progress for older adults in the United States. Protecting the cognitive health of seniors should be part of the strategy of how to raise the world's IQ.
From Ruth Mace, Professor of Evolutionary Anthropology, University College, London. Regarding the view that the world is getting cleverer, Socrates famously put forward an opposing hypothesis that the invention of reading would stunt our memories and our intelligence. Surely it is rash to be confident that our ancestors, such as the hunter-gatherers who painted the cave art in Lasso, or the short-statured medieval builders and craftsmen who built our cathedrals, were more stupid than we are. Proponents of the view that the world is getting cleverer might argue that these were the works of unusual talents in populations where everyone else was less intelligent than we are today. We need much more convincing evidence to be persuaded of that. Cultural evolution has made our world more technologically advanced, but that is not the same thing as making us cleverer. A long history of research into IQ has revealed the measure to be culturally specific and very dependent on experience of learning in a particular way. Failure to recognize its inherent biases has led many IQ researchers to produce, often unintentionally, racist science, as well as biases against anyone who is poor or without formal education. We already know that poverty can severely impact life chances and health. Poverty and stress have been associated with so many correlated social, economic, and developmental outcomes that identifying a single causal pathway to a particular outcome is hard. Of course, who can oppose measures aiming at preventing childhood malnutrition and deprivation? There is just no need to hang the case for relieving poverty on the perilously unsafe peg of increasing IQ.
Paris can be a winner.
From Professor Veronica Vecchi, Milan. As a professor of public management and chairperson of Simico, the Italian state-owned enterprise responsible for executing the infrastructure plan for the Milan-Cortina 2026 Winter Olympics, I want to respond to your article on Paris and the Olympics, article Changing the Games, July 27th. The Olympic Village in Paris represents a permanent investment in Seine-Saint-Denis, a deprived and neglected area. The project, valued at €2 billion, that's $2.2 billion, includes €560 million in government funding. Much attention has been paid to the environmental sustainability of the project, but the true challenge and opportunity lies in its social dimension. The area is characterized by high rates of immigration, unemployment, and crime, with public housing making up 40% of the residences. The Olympic investment promises to allocate 25% of the housing units to vulnerable groups and students. We cannot ignore the lessons from the London Olympics, where promises regarding housing allocations fell short. Thus, Paris carries a significant responsibility. How the social dimension of the Olympic Village is managed will be the true legacy of this project. Will it lead to the gentrification of the area, or will a more inclusive approach be adopted, combining both tangible and intangible interventions to ensure value for society? The Olympics should serve not only as an opportunity to showcase world-class infrastructure with minimal environmental impact, but also as a platform to test and implement innovative solutions for the social challenges faced by major cities.
Music to her ears.
From Talia Weissman, Walnut Creek, California. The Brat Vote, article July 27th, gave us an insight into Kamala Harris's meme-mentum. As a young voter, a lover of TikTok, and with the rise of the Brat Girl Summer, seeing Ms. Harris labelled Brat is entertaining, though also slightly concerning. If it were not for the Coconut Tree remixes and Charlie XCX confirming that Kamala is Brat, I may not have been so eager to learn more, but there lies the problem of meme culture. The memes may eventually harm her campaign if more voters don't take the time to also learn about her accomplishments. Kamala has generated a sense of excitement and energy among younger voters that has not been felt or seen in a long time. Let's see if this Brat summer turns into a Brat presidency.
Imperial ambitions.
From Matthew Draper, Charlottesville, Virginia. Schumpeter tells us that Mark Zuckerberg is fond of using Augustus Caesar, the first emperor of Rome, as a role model, article July 27th. Augustus presided over Rome's transition from a long tradition of self-government to authoritarian rule by impossibly rich tyrants, supported by foreign mercenaries and a bureaucracy of highly trained slaves. The parallels are uncanny.